And we're back. What's going on? What up, though? Episode 5, Dicey World. Can I live? Oh, man. So happy that you guys are back. I'm glad to be here. But let's get this little business out the way. You're now listening to the Dicey World podcast. I'm your main man, Dice. Catch me on all social media platforms on Twitter at DICEYW0RLD, Instagram DICEYW0RLD dot C0M. Yeah, so everybody good? You had a good weekend? Mine was good, you know, trying to get back out here, you know, slowly but surely. You know, I'm not doing anything too crazy. Actually, this weekend, I went to a family member's baby shower in Connecticut. And it was cool. You know, I thought I looked fresh. So fresh that I decided to post, you know, take a picture of myself and post on social media. But on my personal page, too, by the way. And if you know me, if you follow me on my personal page, you know, I don't post much. You know, I'm not on there that much. You know, I might lurk, I might stroll, but I'm not posting like that. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? So I thought I looked okay. And I'm an Instagram snob, by the way. You know, I'm just all Instagram, maybe a little Twitter, but very seldomly am I on Facebook. So anyway, I take a picture of myself. I post it. Actually, I take a picture and post it as an Instagram story. And to my point of me saying, you know, I hardly post, I didn't even know that you have the option. Instagram gives you the option. When you post stories, you can simultaneously post them on Facebook. So I guess I kind of saw it, but I kind of like brushed it off. Like, yeah, whatever you're saying, Facebook, Schmacebook. So I posted it. And you know, a couple minutes later, hour later, you know, I go to my my story and I look at the views. I'm like, oh, man, I'm lit. I got way more views than I usually get. I'm like, oh, okay. The people must be feeling my fit. I must be lit. You know what I'm saying? I must be looking good. And I go down, more than half of my views and my impressions is from Facebook. I'm like, damn, y'all really be on Facebook like that, huh? Or maybe I need to come to grips and come to the reality that Facebook is my speed now. Like I said, I used to look down, be a snob. Oh, Facebook, that's where the old people is at. You know what I'm saying? I'm too lit. I'm lit. But I got to say, though, like I said, most of my responses, my reactions, my messages was from the Facebook community. I need to come back home because underneath, you know, I am an 82-year-old white man. I must admit, I came a lot. You know what I'm saying? If you cut me open, you're going to see Larry David and Michael Scott, a combo of both of them. You know what I mean? It's so crazy. Like, if I go to an event and the function got more than 9 people of color, 25 and younger, you can count me out, bro. I'm at the crib with it, man. I'm an 82-year-old white man. Nah, I just kid. I play around, man. But yeah, though, Facebook, man, I need to go ahead and just come back home. And I'm an 82-year-old white man underneath. I need to go to Facebook where the old people is at. But speaking of Facebook, so in all seriousness, shout out to Facebook. I remember for my birthday, 2020, I think my birthday fell on the weekend, maybe like a Friday or Saturday. And my birthday usually, you know, it was before Memorial Day, runs before Memorial Day. So I think I posted something. Maybe, you know, Facebook gives you alerts of whose birthday it is and so forth. So I got a lot of birthday well wishes and, you know, messages and everything like that. So I try to be cool. I said, you know, I'm not going to be a fiend and just thank everybody the day of. I'll wait a couple of days, you know, and when the smoke clears, when it simmers down, I'll come back and thank everybody. But if you recall in 2020, what happened, you know, for Memorial Day, it was the George Floyd situation, you know. So when that transgressed, I was just so deflated. I couldn't come back and thank everybody that wished me a happy birthday. So all my Facebook users, or friends that, you know, wish me a happy birthday in 2020, I'm formally saying thank you right now. But it's so funny how things change, things remain the same. Because recently, I'm sure we all saw, you know, the gruesome video of Tyreek Nichols. I'm not going to go ahead and rehash things. I'm sure you've all seen it. You know what's going on. The perpetrators, the victim. You've seen the video. Well, for those of you who had the heart and the stomach to watch, it was a tough watch. But it's so crazy because, you know, for a reaction, I went to, like I'm sure most of you did, went to your group threads on your phone and so forth. So two threads that stood out to me when the situation happened, two sets of friends. The first sets of friends, you know, it was a group thread, and the question was posed, you know, why isn't everybody having the same outrageous reaction like they did, you know, for George Floyd when the George Floyd situation happened? You know, where's all the Black Lives Matter and the protests and everything like that? Where's that energy at? You know? And to that I say, you know, well, the George Floyd and the Tyreek Nichols situation, it's like two different things. If you go back to 2020, if you recall, the whole world was on lockdown. It was a different world. We were fresh in the pandemic. People wasn't outside. People weren't outside. People were still wearing masks. I still wear my mask, by the way. You know, it was just a different time. So it had more time to set in and sink in. You know what I'm saying? Just that image of seeing that police officer with his neck, I'm sorry, to his knee, to George Floyd's neck. So that's number one. You know what I'm saying? We all at the house. Ain't nothing going on. It's the pandemic. Number two, which really should be number one, is that by the time we saw the Tyreek Nichols video, those five officers were fired and already charged, you know, for murder. With the George Floyd situation, you know, those cops, if I believe, were like suspended with pay. It was a slow reaction to bring them to justice. It was just very, 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 very slow, you know, in terms of reaction. So that's another thing, you know, you really can't complain with the Tyreek Nichols situation. Like, oh, we want justice. I mean, those cops, they were fired. They were charged. So that's another thing. And then lastly, I feel like, and this is just my speculation, my guess, I feel like since it was five Black officers killing, you know, a Black guy, a Black man, I feel like, you know, the media, which is mostly the white media, they were not hesitant, for lack of better words, but they were indecisive. They were reluctant in how to handle and treat this situation, you know. I figured like, hey, you know, we'll let the Black representatives and the Black scholars and the, you know, the Black spokespeople, we'll let them handle this. And, you know, we'll take their lead, you know, how we should attack this story and how we should angle it. You know, they were kind of gun shy. But then again, that's probably giving the media too much credit, the benefit of the doubt. Truthfully, you know, the story probably wasn't as sexy as, you know, five white cops killing the Black innocent man, you know. They want the headline, so maybe that's what it was too. But that's why I feel like, you know, all of that energy wasn't the same for Tyreek Nichols as opposed to George Floyd. And I still got a lot of press. So my other group thread, they said, you know, they were reluctant to talk or to watch the video. You know, they didn't want to sensationalize or exploit, you know, the transgression, the murder, what happened. They don't want, you know, people to scare Black people and yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, you know what? I agree fundamentally, you know, with the premise in general and the principle, but no matter how you slice it, whether you want to watch it or not, sensationalized or not, no matter how you chop it or slice it, the end result is a young black man being murdered for no reason by five black cops, no matter how you slice it. So, you know, that's how I feel about that situation. Just a horrible, horrible incident. God bless that family, the Tyre Nichols family, and everybody affected by that. Hard left transition pivot. Recently over the weekend, Kyrie Irving got traded to the Dallas Mavericks. And everybody meaning like Instagram comments, social media comments, my friends on the phone and everything. They're talking about, oh, yeah, I'm not feeling this trade. I don't see how it's going to work out between the two. Their games don't complement each other. You know, it's all negative talk. And I don't know, maybe I'm seeing the glass half full. I figured this. Who's the one player that Luka Doncic is constantly being compared to? That's LeBron James, right? Okay, who did Kyrie Irving get a championship with in 2016 with the Cleveland Cavaliers? That would be LeBron James. So I figured we've seen this story before. If it could work out between LeBron and Kyrie, why can't it work out between Luka and Kyrie? Now, granted, you know, LeBron and Luka were at two different points in their career. When Kyrie, you know, played with these guys, you know, LeBron was already an established champion, veteran in the league when he came back to Cleveland to play with Kyrie. Not to mention, he's always been more athletic than Luka could ever dream to be. And Luka is still in this, you know, not in his prime, but he's still trying to find his voice or his mark in the league where he fits in. You feel what I'm saying? He's still trying to, like, figure things out. But in terms of, like, raw talent, they're very comparable, Luka and LeBron. They're both triple threats, points, rebounds, assists. Luka just gave you 60, 20, and 10 this season. He's a walking triple-double. Okay. Even if you're not feeling that LeBron and Kyrie comparison, how about this? How about last year when you had Jalen Brunson and Luka Doncic? Are you saying Jalen Brunson is better than Kyrie Irving? Because if not, we've seen Jalen Brunson, that duel, that combination of Luka and Jalen Brunson take the Dallas Mavericks to the Western Conference Finals last year. Just those two. So I'm interested to see. I think it's going to work out. I am curious to see how Luka is going to move, if he will move without the ball. Is he going to cut? Is he going to move around? Is he going to fight to get open? I doubt it. He's probably going to, you know, just tell Kyrie to take the rock and it's your turn. I'm going to take a blow in the corner over here, get a, you know, open three if you drive and kick, but I'm just chilling. But, you know, when Luka has the ball, I can see Kyrie being more active, being more the, you know, Reggie Miller, Rip Hamilton, Steph Curry role. Not to say that he's done that before, but he can do it. He's capable of doing it. He's done it before. I guess now he have to do it a little bit more. But I'm anxious to see, and I think it's going to work out. I am curious to see, though, as I wrap up with this Kyrie situation, if the Mavericks are going to sign him, you know, long term. Are they going to sign him, you know, within 72 hours at the end of the season? You know, Kyrie trying to get paid. He'll be a free agent at the end of the season. I'm curious to see, is he going to get a max contract, 4 years, 3 years, 2 years? I guess it all depends on how the Mavericks finish and how he does individually. All right, so speaking of LeBron, when I was talking about, you were comparing Luka and LeBron, your boy LeBron James is about to be the NBA's all-time leading scorer. Wow, what a feat, man. I think that mark, that record right now is, what, 38,387 points, something like that, held by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar since 1984, so a little over 38, 39 years. Hell of a run. You know, not much for me to say that you haven't already heard before in regards to LeBron. I think longevity, you know, it speaks a lot to his longevity, his work ethic, his endurance, his physical prowess, him being blessed not to sustain that, you know, that major injury You know, Kobe couldn't say that. He sustained the Achilles. He didn't take any breaks, meaning LeBron, no breaks. He just played 20 years in a row, unlike Mike, who had two retirements, you know, worth like 5 years. I believe the first retirement Mike had was like, what, 2 or 3 years? The second was 2 years, so that's 5 years off. Mm-hmm. Potential statistics. And then also, you know, LeBron came in straight out of high school, you know, and immediately got the keys to the car. And Kobe came in from high school too, but Kobe had to wait like 3 or 4 years before he even sniffed playing time, before he came off the bench consistently, before he started. So that's like 3 or 4 years of stats knocked off of Kobe. And you know, Mike, he came in as a junior from college. So that's 3 years off from him. In addition to the 5 years I said he took off from retirement. So that's like 8 years of stats that we don't even see from Mike. Mike could have like 45,000, 48,000, 50,000 points. But he doesn't. The reality is LeBron's going to break the record. But I think what people aren't really talking about is the fact that this dude is like in the top five all time in assists. That's crazy, you know? Just to think that LeBron's going to finish his career with over 40,000 points, 10,000 rebounds, 10,000 assists. I call that the career triple-double. And while you're playing, at the rate that he's going right now, if he plays 3 or 4 more years, takes the Tom Brady route, who's to say he can't break the John Stockton assist record? They all said nobody's going to break the Kareem record, so why can't he break the all-time assist record by John Stockton? I think it's plausible. I think it's possible, you know? All right, well, speaking about basketball and all-time greats and GOATs and so forth, you know, I went to one of these pages on Instagram, a sports page, and they presented a poll, a question. Who would you take in their prime? And before we do that, we're going to do it in the comment section. You know, last week we talked about black women hair products. After a comment I left on the Shade Room that got over 13,000 likes. So this is what we're going to do, you know. Towards the end of our show, we're going to do it in the comment section where, you know, we just review a comment that I left on social media that got some kind of reaction, some traction. We're going to talk about it. So this week is going to be about basketball, about the NBA. Let's see here. So like I said, I was on one of my basketball pages on Instagram. And this was the comment right here. Check me out, y'all. All right. All in their prime. Oh, what happened? Oh, it's reloaded. Okay, I reloaded. All right. All in the prime. Who are you benching? So we got Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Steph Curry. So over here, you know, my comment, I got over 1,200 likes, 165 comments. I say, damn, this is tough. But KD is the only one who didn't put a squad on his back and get a chip. So KD, respectfully, I got hammered, you know. But I think a lot of people conflated what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying KD is not the most talented or isn't as talented as these cats right here. You know, KD, it was a time where I feel like KD, Carmelo, and Kobe were the best bucket getters I've ever seen in my life. You can add in Allen Iverson too, but, you know, I always put Iverson, Ivo, in his own little special category. But for a certain time, when you wanted a bucket, just like the art of getting buckets, anybody, KD, Kobe, and Carmelo's like three of the best I've ever seen. You know, in addition to, of course, Mike, the GOAT, but those three. So I know what time is with KD. But I look at this list, I say, like I said, you know, LeBron, Shaq, Kobe, Mike, Steph, they all put their team on their back, the organization on their back. They started a culture. Their teammates deferred to them. They knew what time it was. And the same could have been said about KD if he would have stayed in the OKC and won the championship there. That was his organization. I hate to sound like Charles Barkley, but, you know, to piggyback off of his theory, you know, he wasn't the bus driver in Golden State when he eventually got two rings. You know, it was Steph's. It was Steph's organization. It was Steph's team. You know, people say, Steph, you know, KD got two MVPs, finals MVPs when he was there at Golden State. Listen, when Kevin Durant first came back to OKC when he signed to Golden State, a lot of the fans booed him and teased him and called him shortcake or cupcake. I'll never disrespect KD and call him cupcake, but he's that kind of player where he can be like the cherry on the top of your already made cake. You feel what I'm saying? Of your pie. He's like the ultimate icing on the top. If you have an already functional, stable team and you need that one little part to take you over, I mean, that's KD. Sans Brooklyn. I don't know what the hell happened to Brooklyn, man. But, you know, you saw what he did for Golden State. Like, when he came to Golden State, it just, I don't know, man. It just changed the tide so much. It turned the tide, you know, so much into Golden State's favor. It was akin to Deion Sanders signing to the 49ers or to the Cowboys back in the day. Like, you know what I'm saying? He tilted the scale of power to whatever team he chose to go to. And you can say that about KD. When KD went to Golden State, all he had to do was just be one of the best players, the best offensively sound, fundamentally players we've ever seen before. You have to worry about, you know, leadership to a certain degree, you know, all the responsibilities that come with being that man, that cornerstone organization, you know, face of the organization kind of a guy. You know, Steph had that pressure. So KD just had to just fall back, relax, and just get buckets. And that's what he did. And people trying to poo-poo on Steph. Like, really, Steph? Yeah, I mean, he got his finals MVP last year, but really in 2015, he could have had the finals MVP. They gave it to Andre Iguodala. Why? Because he defended LeBron James and kept LeBron James from getting the championship ring. But if you check the stats, LeBron still had, like, he averaged, like, 35, 10, and 10. So did he really stop him? Or was it that Kyrie Irving got hurt the first game and Kevin Love was already out the duration of the playoffs? So was it, you know, Iguodala stopping LeBron? Was that LeBron had no help? So what you guys think, man? Am I tripping? Who you benching? You benching KD? You benching LeBron, Shaq, Kobe, Mike, Steph? What do you say? Let me know. All right, guys, before I wrap it up, because that's about to be my time, I'm about to be hasta la vista, pasta and pizza. We got a big game this weekend. We got the Super Bowl. We got the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Kansas City Chiefs, the Andy Reid Bowl, the Kelce Brothers Bowl. And I'm here to tell you this is what's going to happen. The Philadelphia Eagles are going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, are going to defeat the Kansas City Chiefs 34-23. Why? Because that's what I said. So you heard it here first, all right? Like I said, guys, that's my time. I appreciate you coming through, checking me out, subscribe, follow me, do all that kind of stuff. Leave a comment. Let me know if I sucked, you liked it, you enjoyed it, whatever, man. Just give me some feedback. Once again, I'm Dice. I'm Hasta La Vista, Pasta and Pizza. Remember, boys and girls, anything can happen in Dicey World. Until next time, peace.